Today's Bible passage comes from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 21. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and that he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loves us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, who he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of God.
Thank you. That's the highlight. Three things that you can do. First of all is pray for us. If you haven't been included in our prayer list, please email me. And if you would like to pray for us, I have calendars so that you can stick it in your Bible and remember to pray for us. The second thing that you can do is actually giving. This ministry needs funding, basically. So if you want to give, you can give online, but you can also give through offline, and I have some financial support forms in here. And serving actually is something that might excite you. We need two cooks for our combined camp on the 29th of June until the 2nd of July. So if you have cooked or have experience of cooking and you're excited in cooking for like 60 plus people, let me know after the service, because this might be something for you. Thank you for praying for our ministry. Well, today we'll look at 1 John chapter 4. Please keep your Bible open to 1 John chapter 4 under the topic of loving God. So I heard from Pastor John that the theme of the church this year is actually loving God and loving one another. And I think I chose this passage basically for us to go through today. The author of John here, author John here, explains three things in this passage. What God is, what he did, and what Christians ought to respond as the recipients of God's love. The first one, love is what God is. When we say that we are in love, Valentine's Day is coming up soon. We need to know more than just the person's name, right? We need to know more than where she live or he live. But we need to know the person's character and other things. And this is an interesting topic, actually, as we look into what God is. So I'm not talking about who God is or what's his name, but we are talking about what God is. That he is love. And that's what John said in verse 8. Look at verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So let us back up here. From verse 7, actually, John exhorts the audience of his letter to love one another. Why? Because in verse 7 and 8, because love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and know God. So loving one another is actually a clear evidence that a person has been born of God and the person knows God. Loving one another is a clear evidence that that person has been born of God and know God. And in the contrary, as you see in verse 8, those who do not love God, those who do not love do not know God, because God is love. So there are three things that are worth noting here in verse 7 and 8. First of all, number one, the aspect of a newborn. I just want to make sure that we are all clear that the aspect of a newborn plays an important role of knowing God and loving one another. So here, John basically emphasized that in his gospel, that we can become children of God by being born of God. So in John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, as you read on the screen, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And children not born of natural descent or human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So when John is talking about loving one another here, this is not just any love that you know or experience from a random person, for example. This is a unique love. This is an expression, basically, after you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So let me just make it clear here. I know that you know a lot of people who have genuine love. And I know that you know a lot of people who have love much deeper than Christians. But let me tell you this. What John means here in this passage is that this is the kind of love that springs from knowing Jesus as Savior. So that's number one. Number two, other thing that is worth noting, is that our text here says that if people do not love one another, it's very clear, if people do not love one another, then they don't know God. This is very strong, isn't it? It's very strong. If you do not love one another, you do not know God. What it implies is that all the rest of the knowledge of God in this context must be expressed in loving your fellow believers. So forget about all the things that you have gone through. Forget about all the camps that you have gone through. Whether it is KYCK, whether it is NTE and all other acronyms. Forget about all those things. Forget about all the Bible college qualifications that you have. Forget about how many different times, let's say, that you have read the Bible cover to cover. Forget about those things. Forget about those things. If you have been a member, let's say, of a church for many, many years, if you do not love one another, the Bible says, then you do not know God. So here, John wants to make sure that we understand what God is and his nature, that is love, in verse 8. And love here comes from God. So that is the third thing that I observe. This is not in odd. When you receive that, if you're working part-time, when you receive salary from your boss, right, at the end of a fortnight, you will think that your boss equals money, right? Sometimes you think that way, okay? When you see your boss, oh, you know, that's where the money from, okay? He's basically equals to cash. You may think that way. You can consider that your boss is actually having a huge bank account in which he can make a lot of money, or he has made a lot of money, and you are working in his shop, right? But your boss is still a human being. He is not money. He is not equal to money. And it happens that he has lots and lots of money that he can employ you and pay you for whatever amounts of hours that you work for him. But this is very different. When John says that God is love, what it means is that he is love. And he shares His being with us. So it's a bit more like when you are, let's say, feel the light when you go to the beach. When you are under the sun, you feel the light and you feel that it's hot. Or when you feel the heat, let's say, if you cook in front of your stove in the kitchen. Love actually belongs to God's nature. That's what He is. It's not only who He is, but it is what He is. It means that God basically is love. It is woven into of who He is. It is woven into what He is. It is part of what it means to be God. So this love basically has now become part of us. If we believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, as our Savior and as our Lord, the love of God then becomes part of us. And what is amazing is that the expression of Christians as we love one another is actually who God is and what God is. And these are the qualities of God that have become real in our lives. So that's my first point. Love basically is what God is. But John here doesn't stop there. John says that love is not only what God is, but love is what God did, that He showed His love to us. So you can imagine that God is not just chill up in heaven, because people know that He is love, and you know that He's just so happy that people know that He is love. His love here is not just so much informational. He basically manifested His love to us. Look at verse 9 and 10 in your Bible. Verse 9 and 10. This is how God showed His love amongst us, that He sent His one and only Son into the world, that we might live through Him. This is love, that not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. As I said, Valentine's Day is coming up, right? And you see Valentine's cards basically in shops. And some of the Valentine's cards will say, "To my Winnie the Pooh, I am your honeypot." Or maybe other Valentine's cards will say, "Roses are red, violets are blue, you are my man, and I love you." That's a bit cheesy, huh? But we learn that as human beings, that we have totally different kind of concept of love. We love sometimes to be loved. Oftentimes, we love to be loved. Therefore, we find rejection at times. And the fact that there are many who feel unloved, that saying that this is basically a fundamental human need to be loved. It's the thing that we lack, but also the thing that we need to be loved. So here, John affirmed basically to us that God did love us. Look at verse 9. God manifested or showed His love publicly to all of us. That's why John says that this is how God showed His love amongst us, that He sent His one and only Son into the world. So what that means is that God showed His love publicly to all of us by sending His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. So let me just highlight this, that this is not a kind of sentimental love that you see on Valentine's Day, or maybe a kind of love, you know, to be loved. This is the true love, according to John. This is the true love. This is the genuine love. This is about God who sent His Son into this world. So what that means is that if you pay attention to what the Bible says, it is active. So this kind of love is not subjective feeling. It is objective action. It is a sacrifice, basically, that God made for us, that God sent His one and only Son into this world so that we can have life. It is hard to lose a family member, whether your wife, your husband, your partner, or maybe your family, other family members. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Surabaya. And Surabaya is where the Air Asia flight originated from, as it flew from Surabaya to Singapore. And I was talking to a couple of people who are being affected by that tragedy. And it is really hard. It was really, really hard. So there is a family of four in which they were planning actually to fly from Surabaya to Singapore by Garuda. But they cannot get all four tickets. They can only get three. So the husband say to the wife and two kids, why don't you guys fly on Garuda and I will fly on Air Asia. So the wife and the two kids finally arrived safely in Singapore, but the husband basically never arrived. I talked to a couple of people who are directly related to that family, and that says that they said that it's really, really hard. It's really hard to lose a family member, but I believe that it is much harder. It is more heart-ripping if you lose your own son, your own child. It's really hard to imagine if, let's say, I lose Josiah or if I lose Joel. But for God here to lose his son, it's hard, of course. Especially John says that this is not just a son. This is his one and only son. And John used this phrase, one and only, to signify to us how generous God's love is for us. That he basically gave everything that he has. Note here that not only God's love is generous, but he also gave us everything that he has. He gave us something that we desperately need as human beings. Imagine that you receive a birthday present. You receive something that is expensive, but you really have no idea or no clue what to use of that gift. Because I remember that I received a birthday present. It looks like a very expensive bubble bath liquid. And to be honest, I really don't know what to do with it. I really don't know what to do with it. I just put it in a drawer and I never use it. But here, John says that the best present is from people, from God, who knows us and gave us something that we desperately need. Here in John, 1 John chapter 4, God basically sent his one and only son. Why? Because we are all sinful. And we all deserve to die. And we are all going to die. Why? Because of our rebellion against God as our king. What happened is simply this. We basically put God away. Not as the ruler of our life, but God is becoming the God that, you know, that is not in charge basically in our life. We put him away. We put us to rule over our life. And what that means is that this is basically treason. This is basically a rebellion. This is sinful. And the Bible says that the wage of this sin is death. And you may think that I'm not that bad, right? I'm okay, Kian. I believe in God and I do all the moral things. But oftentimes, you see, you just come to God when you need him. You just come to God when you are in a jam. When you come to God when you are facing exams or when you have family crisis or something like that. Then what that means is that basically you don't have a relationship with him, isn't it? You don't let him rule over your life in everything. And sometimes, you know, you and I believe, hate that kind of relationship, right? When people just come to us when they need us. You can imagine that how God feels. When we put God away just to be our servant, when we put God away just to be, you know, someone that we only meet when we need him, then we have no relationship with God. You are not treating him as king, as Lord of your lives. And John 4 says that in judgment, you will receive what you deserve. That is death. And this is not just a death. But this is an eternal separation from God, our Creator. But the Bible says again in verse 9, look at verse 9 again. God basically sent Jesus. And what he did is that he made Jesus to atone our sins so that we can be together in one with God in eternity. And this is the gift, actually, that we needed the most, like I said before. He loved us so much that He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross for us, to be sacrificed for our sin, so that we can have fellowship with God. The word atonement here, as you see in verse 10, as an atoning sacrifice, look at your Bible, as an atoning sacrifice, the word atonement here was actually the word that was created. It's very interesting. This word was just created, it made up. So William Tyndale, back in the 1500s, when he translated the Bible from Latin to English, he was puzzled basically to translate this concept on how God and man become one. So he made up a word. He made up a word and he said that, you know, at one make, at one man, atonement, to make people and God join together. The Bible says, John says here, that God sent Jesus so that human beings and God can be together again. So there is no longer chasm, basically, that separated us and God. Because all is done on the cross by Jesus Christ, by His death on the cross for all of us. So when we receive the benefit of God's love, not because of what we do, in verse 10, but because of who He is and what He did, because He loved us so much, then we understand that there is no merit basically in our part. There is nothing that we can claim that this is our work, or maybe this is our achievement. There is nothing that we can claim. God's love basically does not depend on our performance. His love does not depend on how we do. His love does not depend on how we look. This love basically are not dependent on how we are. We are just rebels and we are ugly before God. But He sent His one and only Son for us because He loved us so much. And He did not forget us. On the cross, He just wanted us not to be separated from Him, but He wanted us to be together in true fellowship with Him. He does not want us to face final judgment, as what John says, but He wants us to have fellowship with Him. So just John here wants us to respond actually to this invitation. You see in verse 9, look at verse 9 again. This is how God showed His love amongst us, that He sent His Son, His one and only Son, into the world that we might live through Him. You see that John wants us to respond to this. So receiving God's love is not an automatic in a sense. Right? Why? Because the word might here in verse 9. Underline the word might. So if you understand English, the word might means that you need to respond, basically. You need to respond to the love of God that was shown in us by sending His one and only Son, Jesus, into the world to die on the cross for all of us. So what that means is that we need to respond to Him. And we need to say that, God, we just want to receive Your love. We want to receive Jesus Christ as an expression of Your love. And we want to receive Him as our Savior and as our Lord. And if you haven't done so, if you are in this room and haven't done so, I would like you to be thinking about it. And I would like you to respond to that kind of invitation of love that God has given to us. So that's number two. That's what God did. Number three, the last one. That's what Christians ought to respond. So love is what Christians ought to respond. You see that, you know, on the theme here, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. But this is not just about loving God, right? The expression of loving God is actually by loving one another. Look at verse 11 from 1 John 4. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Again, you know, please underline the word ought here. I believe that the Bible translator is using this for a meaning. This is not an option, basically. According to John, among all other things that Christians ought to respond to this overflowing love that God has shown to us in Jesus Christ, is actually by loving one another. Loving one another in Christ. Loving brothers and sisters in the church. And I don't think that you can escape actually from this exhortation, isn't it? If you look at 1 John 4, it's in verse 7, it's in verse 11, as you see, it's in verse 12, and it's also in verse 21. You can't really escape that. And what John means is that when he used the word ought here, it's like fish swimming in water. You can't really, fish, not in water, it means dead, right? It's like lemon is sour. Have you seen lemon that is not sour? Have you tasted one? Maybe not, okay? So Christians basically ought to love one another. And that is not an option. In the gospel, in John 13, John says that by this, everyone, by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So this is not an option. Love is not only what God is. Love is not only what He did on the cross for us by sending Jesus, His one and only Son. Love is actually something that we ought to respond as Christians. And God's love is perfected in us by us loving one another. So here, John is giving two examples earlier. So if you flip over to chapter 3, in your Bible from chapter 3, from 1 John, he actually gave two examples on how one loves God and ought to relate to his brothers and sisters in Christ. So let me just go quickly. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, there is an example of Cain. What John means, or what John wants us to learn from this, is actually we need to rejoice over others' achievement. So if you have a brother or sister in Christ achieving something, that you rejoice together. If you have a brother or sister in Christ, let's say stepping up in their faith, in following Jesus, in following God, then you need to rejoice over it. In verses 16 to 18, John also is exhorting us to be sensitive and to be generous when others are in need. What John says is just love one another. So you can't really escape this command, isn't it? And you see that the Apostle Paul, if you just go to Bible Gateway and type in loving one another, and all these things basically just came up, you know. These things come up. Loving one another. Apostle Paul understood that, you know, this is very important. This is an expression of basically of what it means to be a Christian. Romans 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. And all others you can read from the list. Let me just ask you now, how do you feel? Do you feel overwhelmed? That's good. Well, I think that should be the first response. But the question is now, how can you translate this into reality? As you love one another, especially in a big church like Livingstone, how can the love of God be overflown, basically, through me as Christians, so that I can love one another in Christ sincerely, without being forced? So if you feel overwhelmed with the list of things, of the commands of loving one another here, then that's fine. Or you may have experienced so many things in this church. I believe that in such a big church like Livingstone, that people basically always ask you for help, right? They always come to you, hey, why don't you help in the music team? Hey, why don't you help in the kitchen? Why don't you help in ushering? Why don't you help in other things, welcoming, etc., etc.? And when you know God's love, and when you experience God's love in Jesus, and you know that He wants you to love one another, then basically, you can't really escape those kind of things, right? It's really hard to say no sometimes to people when they ask for help. Well, let me give you a practical suggestion, and this helped me in the past, how we can be wise, basically, in loving one another. And I hope that this one helps you as well. First of all, you need to understand that loving one another, or loving God and loving one another, it's not something that you work up yourselves. It's not something that you say in front of the mirror and saying, Kian, you have to love one another more. than yesterday. Okay? Or maybe you need to love God more than yesterday. It's not something that you say to yourself and you work it up. I have to love someone today more than I loved someone yesterday or something like that. That's not to create love in yourself, I believe. How can you be a more loving person? Well, John says that we love. Why? Because He first loved us. God first loved us. And we always need to go back, basically, to this original love, to the love of God that He's shown on the cross in Jesus Christ. And by His Spirit, that we need to ask God, basically, to work His love through us. So that when we love one another, when we express our love to God and our love to one another, we are not under compulsion. We are not loving because we are being forced to love. But we are loving, we love others because of our experience in the first love of God that He's shown to us on the cross. And I realized that that experience can be overwhelming. And sometimes the response, the first response to most of us is just we completely shut down. And we say to ourselves that this is just too hard. Too hard. And this is just too much. And sometimes we feel that in such a big church like this, that this is just, you know, I'm overwhelmed basically with all the things that I have to do, that people ask me to do. It's not, well, when you understand God's love and when you understand that He loved us so much, and His commands is to love one another, this is not an option, is it? It is not an option. Therefore, we need wisdom, basically, to manage all of this. Let me just give you two things, two wise sayings from the person that had taught me. First of all, love the few in many ways, and the second is love the many in a few ways. Let me just explain to you. As you think about your life and your ministry, for example, it should become clear that there are a few people that God entrusted to you with a special responsibility. So for example, family. For example, let's say a small group in the church, or maybe at uni, or maybe at work. So what that means is that there is priority, basically, to love this family of God that God has entrusted to you. So, for example, Paul says to Timothy that make sure that Timothy love the family, his family. Because if he doesn't love his family, that he is worse than unbeliever. So some of us also maybe have aged parents, and we need to love them. Because these are the people that God has entrusted to us to love above all as a priority. You need to identify, first of all, who are the few that God has entrusted into your life. So it can be family, it can be your small group, it can be the people in your ministry team, it can be the people in your mission team. Love those people in many different ways. In many different ways. So for example, let's say, in my case, my family is the one that God entrusted to me. So I need to love my family. I love my kids. I love my wife. I wash the dishes. I also clean the bathrooms. I go and deliver and drive the boys basically to swimming. I change diapers when they were babies, right? I work so there is a meal basically for them on the table. I love them in many ways. In many ways. Why? Because they are the people that God entrusted to me. So above all, I need to love them more. And I love them in many ways. Not that I like changing diapers, let me just tell you. It's not fun, especially in the middle of the night. Okay? But I love them. I love them. So that's why I change their diapers. But when I think about, let's say, for example, people in my small group, I love them so much. They are the people that God entrusted to me above all. I love international students in my small group. I love them when they are struggling, let's say, not that I love them. I love them when I express the love, my love to them, especially when they are, let's say, having a struggle in their essays writing. I help them. When they need to go to church, I pick them up and I make sure that they go to church. When they are moving, for example, I help them out when they move. Because they are the people that God entrusted to me the most. Above all, I love them above all. I try to love them as many, basically, as I can, because they are the few that God has given to me a special responsibility. But when I think about you in this room, for example, I love you in different ways. I love you by teaching the Word of God in some Sundays. But let me just tell you, that's basically my limit. And I will see you in the next few months when I teach the Bible again here. I love you by doing this. I may not love you by, let's say, changing your baby's diapers or something like that. Or maybe help you moving or something like that. I hope you get what I mean here. This helps me to say no to many different asks when people come to me and ask for help. This also helps me to love the people that God entrusted to me the most. So what that means is that you need to identify who are the few that God has entrusted in your life. As God gives you opportunities to love one another, I think we are to love many, the many, maybe with the few ways that we can do. The music team, for example, here today, they also love you. You love them, right? Yes. They love you very much. But the way that they express their love is only by leading some songs or maybe help us basically so that we can worship God smoothly and everything. The Sunday school teachers, for example, right? They love us. Why? They love us by teaching the kids in the Bible. They help us basically in a few different ways because their main responsibility are different. So these are the ways that they love us. And what that means is that they probably won't come to you and help you wash your dishes at home. Right? Because this is different. And I hope that this has been helpful to you and has been helpful to me. Love the few in many ways and love the many in a few ways. And my prayer is that people can see God clearly by us loving one another. Let us pray together. Lord, please help all of us so that we can be a loving community. We thank you that you are love and that you have showed your love by sending Jesus to die on the cross so that we can love one another. Please help us to always reflect on that love. And please help us so that we can love one another, not under compulsion, but freely and willingly. And we pray, God, that as we love one another, that Jesus can be clearly proclaimed in all the things that we do. Amen.